Welcome to the perfect place for imperfect people. This is the Local Church Podcast, and we hope this message both challenges and encourages you. Here's today's message.
I'm so grateful for a new beginning. His mercies are new every morning, but there's something special about new years and new beginnings and fresh starts. I'm Eric. I'm one of the pastors here. I want to welcome you to the perfect place for imperfect people to experience the presence of God. That's the important thing. It's that the presence of God is here in this place. And if you're a guest with us today, the presence of God is here with you, and he wants to speak to you this new year. So I want you to open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. It'll be up there on the screen and at home as well. Also, if you have our app, you can open that up as well. If you're a guest here today, you can go to your app store on Android or Apple and search for the local church. There's an app there where you can help take notes, where you can listen to previous teachings, where you can get notifications and keep updated of all that God is doing here. But we have something new for the new year. On your way in, you should have received a sheet of paper, and that's because we're going old school in the new year. We got these binders where you can take physical notes and write them down. And I just want to make, we have these binders on sale. They're for cost outside, and you may not realize this, but plastic and paper cost far more than digital, okay? So we're selling these for 10 bucks. That literally is just like, we're making like 6 cents, and probably with the shipping and the labor, it probably, you know, we're losing money on it. But why are we doing that? Why are we going old school in 2024 and beyond? Turn to your neighbor, tell them this. Say, what we write down is what we retain. Say one more time. What we write down is what we retain. God wants to grow us, so he gives us his word. But we can't grow unless we remember what God has taught us. And so I encourage you to take notes, whether that's online, whether that's in your app, or whether that's in that binder, and you store that for the next 52 weeks. You can go back and see all that the Holy Spirit has been teaching you, what you've been doing about it. But we're going to grow this year, amen? Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no prophetic vision, say vision. Where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. They go buck wild, is the Eric definition. But blessed is he who keeps the law, who keeps the word of God. Growing up in my household, everyone wore glasses. My Dia's right here in the front row. She wears glasses. My sister was here in the third row last Saturday. She wears glasses. My dad wears glasses. My stepmom wore glasses. Everyone in my family, my abuelo, everyone wore glasses except for Chinito. And so in all the pictures, in all the frames, we'd be at Disney World, we'd be at Outback Steakhouse. Everyone is smiling, wearing glasses except for me, and I hated it. And I wanted glasses more than anything else. I did not want to be the awkward one in our family. I wanted glasses. And so I told my stepmom many times, I need glasses. I need glasses. She's like, you don't need glasses. I need them to live. All right? No me diga, muchacha, yo quiero gafas ahora, I need these. And in the fourth grade, I found out why there was a need for glasses. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, if you've ever heard this before, but do you know why people need glasses? It's because they can't see. They can't see clearly. And so when I realized that, I'm like, oh, being the little demon child that I was, I began to deceive my stepmom. I'd come home like, Leanne, I couldn't read the back. I couldn't read what the teacher was writing on the board. And like, what does this say? I can't read what's in front of me. Oh, is that a red light, a green light? I can't tell. I need glasses. And I deceived her for so long, she eventually gave in, took me to the optometrist. At the optometrist, they did all the tests. They ran all the things in front of my eyes. I read the numbers and the letters. And at the end of the optometrist appointment, the man sits me and my stepmom down. He says, young man, you are fortunate. You can see clearly. You don't need glasses. I was so mad. I wanted to hurt that man. Let me ask a question. Who here can see clearly? Show of hands. You can see clearly. Yeah, about a third of the people here, that makes sense. I have another question. You don't have to raise your hand for this because this is a different question. It's not the same question. Some of you can see clearly, but how many of us in here have clear vision? How many of us have clear vision? Why do I share all of this the first Sunday of 2024? Because over the past 4 years, God has given us a word. He's instilled in us a word at the beginning of the year to help us refocus and be that, all that he's created us to be, to give us direction for the future, for the next 52 weeks of what he wants to grow in us, of who he wants us to become. We've had a word of the year, and this first service of 2024 and our first teaching series of the new year and our word of 2024, the new year, is this. It's revision. Turn to your neighbor, say revision. No, don't say revision. That's not our word for the year. Our word is revision. Turn to someone, say revision. This is what this means for us as God's people and his church in 2024. Our year of revision means we're going to re-envision and we're going to revise. I want you to write this down. Our year of revision means we're going to cast vision again and clarify what God has called us to. We're going to cast vision again and we're going to clarify what God has called us to. We're going to believe God for the absolute best, and we're going to build his church, and we're going to revise and recommunicate and refocus the mission and the vision that he's called all of us to. That's what it means in our year of revision. And over the next 52 weeks, we'll clarify, we'll explain that, we'll revise that, and we'll get ready for all that God has in store. I've titled today's teaching this: Clear Vision Requires Renewal. Some of you have perfect sight, but if we want clear vision, that requires renewal. And what I want to talk about today is something that I did not realize as a child growing up. That two-thirds of the people in this country, they can't see clearly. Two-thirds of the people in this country, they require the help and support of contacts or glasses so that they can see clearly. And when you can't see clearly, it makes going forward complicated. When you can't see what's in front of you or what's down the line, it makes it difficult to take your next steps. And so if you don't correct your ability or inability to see clearly, it's going to make going forward difficult. And can I tell you, the same is true spiritually. In fact, it's greater than two-thirds. The overwhelming majority of people in the church, they do not have clear vision. They cannot see what God has in store. See, when we talk about clear vision, I'm not talking about seeing with the eyes in our heads. The eyes in our head gives us sight, but the eyes in our heart, they give us vision. The eyes in our head, they help us to see today, but the eyes in our heart, they help us to see tomorrow and beyond. The eyes in our head, they help us to see to the corner. The eyes of our heart that give us vision, they help us to see beyond the corner. So many of us, we only have eyes to see in our head, in our present predicament. That's all we can see. But the eyes of vision, the eyes of our heart that God wants to grow and develop within us, help us to see our future potential. How God can do infinitely above anything we could ask, imagine, or think. And there are people here in this church that you have clear vision. And when people look at you and they see you in your circumstance, they're blown away. They're saying, I don't get how your attitude does not reflect the adversity that's happening in your life right now. Why are you hopeful? Why are you hope-filled? Why are you praising God in the middle of such significant pain? It's because they are seeing with the eyes in their heads, but we have been called to see with the eyes in our hearts. We have vision. We believe that eventually God is going to work all things, say all things, all things together for our goods. I want you to write this down. When we see the vision that God has for us clearly, we can walk to where God wants us to go confidently. When we see the vision that God has for us clearly, we can walk with confidence. We can walk with our back straight and our head high. We can walk with God confidence, even if there's difficulties along the way. Oh, I see a challenge. I know this is going to be a problem. November 2024 is going to cause some conflict in our country, but I see where God is leading me. Even if there's deviations, even if the distance from here to where God wants us to go is a long distance, even though if it's biblical and it's going to take some decades to me for me to get to where God wants me to go, but when I see God's vision clearly, I can walk with confidence. That's what God wants to grow in us today. That's what God wants to develop in us in 2024. Turn to your neighbor and say, vision. This is our year of revision. God is going to give his church his vision back. You need to understand the poorest people in this world are not people who do not have money. They're people who do not have vision. People who cannot see what God has in store, therefore they settle for what their eyes can only see. And the reason that's a problem is because what our eyes see typically is not God's best for us. When you look around to the world we're in, to the problems of people around us, to the pain that's being exposed in lives, in our family, to the politics that are being played every single day, we look to that, and there's not a whole lot of hope to be had. There's not a whole lot of hope for the future. This is why one of the greatest gifts that God wants to give to us as his children and his followers and friends is vision. Vision is essential for his church. Vision is essential for his children. Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Maybe your translation says, the people perish. But blessed is he who keeps the law. What does that mean? Vision in this passage is referring to divine direction, divine communication that comes from a dream, a revelation, or prophecy. The same word in Hebrew here is used in 1 Samuel chapter 3 when he's talking about divine direction for God's people. We see this word vision in the introduction of the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Obadiah and so many of Daniel's prophecies as it's pertaining to what God is going to do in the future. So a lack of vision biblically means a lack of divine direction that comes from God through his word, through his written word. God, he gives us a picture of what he wants to produce through his church, and then he empowers us by his Holy Spirit to help live out this purpose greater than ourselves, to help see his promises for humanity come to pass. This is why this is important. This is why we need our vision back. Because without vision, people cast off restraint. That word in the original language means to get loose, to wander, to get wild, or to get buck wild, to go crazy. Without the word of God, people lose restraint. They wander on their own. Now, I want to make this clear in the new year. Yes, I mean to go here so quick, so soon. But I want you to hear this. This is why a lack of vision is really a symptom of spiritual warfare. This is why confusion is an expression of spiritual warfare. The Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. Confusion, if you're confused, that has not come from God. God wants us to be clear. He is not the author of confusion. Who is the author of confusion? Satan. And so Satan, he wants to keep us unclear. He wants to keep us confused about what God has called us to as his church, as his people, and how we're supposed to do it, and why we're supposed to do it, and when we're supposed to do it, and who we're supposed to be doing it with. God's calling in our life, Christian, requires clarity of vision. And the enemy understands this, and this is why he fights aggressively to keep us unclear. It's spiritual warfare. John 10:10, many of us are familiar with this passage. It says how Jesus came so that we can have life and life abundantly, life overflowing. But we forget the first part of this passage, how we have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he comes for three reasons: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you know what that means? That means that he's not always after us to kill us or to destroy our future. Sometimes Satan is simply after us to steal. to take something away from us. And what I believe happens so often that we need to be aware of is when we are celebrating that we survived, Satan and his minions are laughing. Oh, they survived, but I didn't mean to kill them. I meant to steal from them. We survived the breakup. Yeah, you did. You're not dead, but I stole something from that relationship while you were fighting. I stole the intimacy. We survived the bankruptcy. Man, praise God, we made it out. Yeah, you did, but I robbed you of dependency on God. I made you believe that you were enough. I made you believe that it was your wisdom and your bank account and your connections that got you through this. We survived 2023, amen? But for some of us, Satan robbed us. And we don't know what was taken from us until we reach out for it one day and realize it's not there. He fights aggressively to keep us unclear. If he can't get us to live corrupt, he wants to get us confused. He'll create circumstances and situations where we feel like it's okay to go wild, to lose our restraint. Listen to this. To live for ourselves and do what we think feels right and what we want to do. Let me take off the blinders real quick in church. Satan doesn't care about your dreams for yourself. He doesn't care about what you desire to do for your family and your future. Whatever you want to do for your family and future, Satan probably won't interfere with that because he doesn't care, because it's about you. What Satan comes after is God's vision for you. What Satan wants to confuse you on is God's dream for your life and your family. We have to keep clear. We need revision. We need our vision back. And so it's our year of revision. We're going to cast vision again of what God has called us to do. And we're going to cast off things that have kept us slow and kept us stalled. And we're going to revise and recommunicate who God has called us to be, what he's called us to do, and how we're going to do it. Next week, I can't wait to share the plans for 2024. We've just come off of the most fruitful year of ministry we've ever experienced as a church. And it was through the most difficult year of ministry we've ever experienced as a church. And I can tell you today with God confidence, not arrogance, that the best is still before us. Amen. I can't wait to share with you next week what God has in store for this church in 2024. But today, what I want to do is I want to set the stage. I want to help us to understand what is essential for us to live out a revision this year, as his people and as his church. So I want you to write this down. Our revision requires renewal. Our revision requires, it's mandatory, it needs renewal. What is renewal? When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, we have been made new in him. When we surrender ourselves to Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says we have been turned into a new creation. And that word renewal, that's simply what it means, to be made new, different, and to be transformed. New, different, transformed into something better. That's what happens spiritually when we are saved. At home and in this place, turn to someone, tell them, you've been renewed. If you are in Jesus, you've been renewed. You are a new creature. The old is behind you. Behold, all things going forward, God's vision is that you are new. Turn to that person again, though. Now I want you to ask them a question slowly. Ask them, but are you being renewed every day? We've been made new, but are we being renewed day by day. Because here's the thing for us. We're all imperfect people. And even though the beginning of the year is a time where a lot of us, we decide that we're going to change some habits in our life, we're going to do some new things, can I just be honest with you? I love you, but you need honesty so that when you fail, you will not be disappointed and then, you know, wander off and just go into darkness. The reality is the overwhelming majority of people within 3 weeks will break their New Year's resolutions. Why? Because we're imperfect people. Because it's hard for us to live this newness on our own strength. And even though you've been made new, for us to walk in newness, if we're honest as imperfect people, it becomes a struggle and a challenge. And a lot of us find ourselves saying, I am a new creation, but why am I still struggling with the things of old? I want to walk forward into the future to what God has for me, but why do I still desire the things from the past? I want to enter into God's promised land for my life and my family, but I find myself still wandering in the wilderness of my old life. And we miss out on the power of a new beginning. We miss out on the power of what God can do when we have clear vision. And the reason why is because we aren't being renewed day by day. Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not fit so comfortably into what the world says is right and okay, but be transformed, be made into something new and different. How? By the renewal. Say renewal. The making new of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Our revision requires a renewal. And for us to be renewed, it needs to be day by day. I want to share with us as we begin this new year, 3 things that will help us to think different, that will help us to be renewed day by day so that we can look more like Jesus and live more like Jesus and look towards the future with the same eyes that our Heavenly Father has for us. First thing I want you to write down is this. A spiritual renewal. A spiritual renewal requires dependency on the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Galatians 5:25 says. It says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. You were led to salvation to Jesus by the Spirit of God. He's the one that spoke to your heart. He's the one that convicted you. He's the one that led you to Jesus. And now you have been saved. Amen. In a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating baptism. A lot of people surrendered their life to Jesus since our last baptism. This is when we go public with our faith. The Holy Spirit is the one who drew you to salvation, who drew you to Jesus. He did the greatest miracle in your life, but a lot of us, we stay right there. We say, I'm saved, but we don't surrender the rest of our life to the Spirit of God. We need a spiritual renewal. That happens when we surrender and have dependency on the Holy Spirit. What am I talking about specifically? Prayer. It's prayer. If we want renewal, we need to be surrendered to the Spirit of God through prayer. If we want to see what God wants us to see, we have to be surrendered to His Holy Spirit through prayer. I'm not here to shame anyone today. If you are praying, I'm grateful that you are praying. You're doing something. God will grow what you work. He'll give you greater as you do something. But what is your prayer life like? Is it like what we jokingly do around the holidays? Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay, God. Do you only pray before a meal when people are watching? When friends and family are gathered, is that the extent of your prayer life? Is your prayer life very structured? Is it, I got 5 things that I need to check off today, then I say amen, and yay, I'm done with my prayer. Is that what your prayer life is like? It's 3 minutes every single morning. You pray for your wife, you pray for your kids, you pray for your work, you pray for the church, amen. Is your prayer life this? Is it just talking and talking and talking and talking and never taking time to listen to the Spirit of God speaking to you? Again, listen, I'm glad that you're praying, but we need a spiritual renewal. If we want to see and be who God wants us to be, we need a spiritual renewal. And what prayer is a direct access between us and God. Prayer is the place where we meet with God, where we speak to God, and God speaks back to us. Oh, I've never heard God's voice before. I've never heard God's voice before, but I've heard God leading me by conviction from His Holy Spirit according to His words. What's our prayer life like? So many of us, our prayer for the new year is, God, lead me. Lead me this year. And God's response is always, listen to my spirit. Lead me. Oh, I will. I will speak to you in my still, small voice. I'll remind you of what I said. Will you follow? Lead me. Listen to my spirit's leading. What God has in store in 2024, it really is above what we could ask, imagine, or think. And we're dreaming, and we're believing God for the best. And He's inviting us to something supernatural and something eternally significant. And it requires a renewal that comes through prayer. And this year, we're going to spend a lot of time on our knees as a church. We're going to spend weeks at a time leading up to Easter, leading up to fall, leading up to Christmas, on our knees through prayer and fasting. But here's the thing, church. No one can force you to pray. I can't force you to pray. I can't force you to participate. I can't force you to wake up early and come here and pray over the significant needs of what God wants to do in this church. But what I can do, because I love you, is to be honest with you about what happens if we don't pray. When we do not pray, it becomes increasingly aware to everyone around us that we are not praying. Because when we try to do things on our own strength and we don't give them to God, that burden is on our shoulders. That weight is on our backs. That problem is ours to deal with. That anxiety is overwhelming to us because we're imperfect flesh. And the world will notice, your friends will notice, they'll wonder, why are you so anxious? Why are you so tired? Why are you so worried about the future? But can I encourage you that the inverse is absolutely correct as well? That when we pray, that when we surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading through this gift that God has given us called prayer in His presence, the world will take note that you are operating on a power that is not your own. How did that happen? Doesn't make sense in your life. Why are you so peaceful in this terrible situation? I mean, that's been our story as a church. How is God doing all of this? Through you guys? You didn't go to seminary. You don't have the support of 15 denominations. It's because of prayer. It's not by my might or by my power. It's by His Spirit. And where Spirit leads, we're going to obey. We're going to follow. Amen? Amen? Second thing is this, a scriptural renewal. How can we be renewed? How can we be made new day by day? A scriptural renewal, and this requires consistency in the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, listen to this. All Scripture is breathed out by God. This wasn't written by mere mortals. The Holy Spirit inspired these writers to put down what God spoke. It's breathed out by God. And listen, it's profitable. It's beneficial for what? For teaching, to help other people, to strengthen them, for reproof, to go back and say, wait, hold on. You said what? What does God's word say about that? Does this align with what God's word says? For correction. No, it doesn't align with what God's word says. We're going to do what God says, because what God says is good for us. Even though it doesn't make sense, it's going to help us to be who He wants us to be. For correction, for training in righteousness. To be righteous means simply to be made right with God. We struggle. We try to fight on our own strength. How can I be right with God? If I did this, if I was baptized, if I gave, if I served, is that going to make me right with God? No, but when you spend time in God's Word, because it's living, it's active, it's powerful, it will transform you from the inside out. It will instruct you. It will correct you. It will train you in righteousness so that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. God has a good work for us, church. God has a good work for you and your family. God's vision for you is to live for a purpose beyond your own power. He's preparing us, and that happens through his words. Listen, I can't stress this enough. This is God's word. This is God's word. This isn't simply the best-selling book of all time. It's spirit and it's life. It's our daily bread that strengthens us. It's a truth that sets us free. And we believe that God has given us his word to equip us for everything he has in store. We believe everything we need to know about life and the future is found here within these words. You want vision? You need to get revelation from God. His word, God's word, is not simply a book to study or read. That's good. Get some information. But without application, it's good for nothing. God wants to bring transformation. So we need to get instruction from God's word and application. Romans 10:17, it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's words. You want to grow your faith? You got to get in this. Or you got to come here and listen to God's word. See, we've committed ourselves. We're not going to be a church where we Tony Robbins it and we tell you six keys to your best you and just tell you what we think about life and living. No, we're going to go back to God's word. And when we reference God's word and when we read God's word, it grows our faith. This is our weapon. This is a spiritual war. And I don't say that to scare you because we got the victory in Jesus. I got that clear of a vision. That he's already won and I'm part of his team. But if we're going to come against the confusion of the enemy, we got to keep ourselves clear. Jesus combated the enemy by saying, "It is written." The only way we're going to win against the enemy on this side of eternity is by knowing God's words. And if we saw God's word for what it really is, what would we do about it? Would we treat it as the family heirloom that we put on the shelf and we read on Christmas Eve only? Would we treat it as it's a book and it's God's holy word and so I can't really bend the pages or highlight it? No. This is God's love letter to us. And we would see it as such. It's the only book where the author that has written it is in love with us. And the powerful truth of his word is the more we read it, the more we fall in love with the author. You want to be on the same page with God, you got to be in the pages that he wrote for us. Let me encourage you, a little side note. One of the best things you can do as you begin this year, and even though it's not the first, you can still start today, is to start a Bible reading plan. Which one? There are literally millions of them. So you can Google it. Download the Bible app from Life Church. There's hundreds of thousands. Just start it. Start reading it consistently. And don't just read God's word. Let it read you. Take time to stop and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you through his word. Ask him, "Holy Spirit, what are you teaching me? What do you want me to do about it?" Okay, it was only one passage today. I don't know how that applies to my life, but I'm going to take the time to ask you, "Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in my life through this today?" And the more we spend time in God's word, the more we will be equipped for every good work. Clear vision. What God wants to do, it requires scriptural renewal. Last one is this. A social renewal requires sufficiency in community. Don't get confused or distracted by all the alliteration. I promise I'm not totally Baptist. Here's what this means. A social renewal requires sufficiency in community. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. One another. Not all alone, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. Things come up. Family vacations are important. Resting is crucial. Sometimes you got to go somewhere because the family calls it. Sometimes you just got to get away. But the habit of some of, we don't need to go today. I don't need to be around people. Listen, I want to make this very clear. God did not give an out for people based off of their personality. We all need community. Whether you believe it or not, whether you want it or not, God said it is not good to be alone. I did not create you to be alone. I am God in three persons to show you that we are better together. Father, Son, Spirit, working together in community. The same reason I have created man and woman and brought them together into the church. Because we have not been created and we cannot do this life alone. Familia happens here. We all need one another for accountability, for creativity, for accessibility. I don't know why you're here today. I don't know why you're watching online today. Maybe you haven't been in church in a long time. You thought it's a new year. I just got to get my butt in the seat. Maybe you're in need and you didn't know where to turn to, so I'm going to come to the church. Maybe you heard the pastor is Asian, Hispanic, whatever that means, and I want to see what that looks like. Whatever reason you're here today, I'm glad you're here. But can I tell you that this is just the beginning of what God wants to do? This is just a starting point for what God wants you to do. I know it sounds strange coming from a pastor. Isn't the goal to get everyone here on Sunday? No. The goal is to get you connected to Jesus and to one another. So I'm glad you're here for whatever reason you came. But the number one reason why people stay connected is because of community. The number one reason why people continue to grow as they continue to come is because they realize my life has value here. I matter to God, and that's expressed in the way that I matter to people. I have bumped into so many people that I have not seen in some time. And when I ask them how they're doing, I get one of three responses. The first response is they ignore me. They're like, oh, there's Pastor Eric coming up. That doesn't happen as often as it used to, but it still does. The second response is, oh, we've been busy. Life has been busy. We'll be back. I'm like, listen, I want to make sure you're connected. But the third one is the most heartbreaking. And we've committed ourselves as a church that we're going to do everything in our power so that this isn't a possibility for most people this year. When I bump into some people that I haven't seen in a while, I ask them how they're doing, they're saying, we're okay, but we weren't. We went through a difficult time, and no one reached out to us. No one called us to see how we're doing. No one responded to our Facebook post, a cry for help. And I hate hearing that. It breaks my heart to think that people believe that their life does not have any value to the people of God. And I don't say this as an excuse. I told you, we're committed to doing whatever we can so that we don't hear this again. But the reality is, we're not God. God knows the heart and the life of every one of his children. We don't. God can read every mind. I can't. Most of the time, when we hear that heartbreaking statement, no one cared for me when I was in trouble, it's because we simply didn't know. But God has given us a place to be known. God has given us a place to belong, a place where our burdens can be lifted, a place where we can pray for one another, a place where we can find real community. And here at the local church, that's connect groups. And we can give every excuse of why it doesn't work out or my schedule doesn't work or I'm too busy. You have a heavenly Father who loves you and has done everything so that you would not be alone. He's given you his Spirit to walk with you from now until he takes us home. But he's also given us the church that we can connect in with flesh and blood. We're starting a new season of connect groups in just a few weeks, and we're doing our best to have as many days available and as many places available for as many seasons of life available, because we know that God has called us to be together. God has called us to be in community, to be known, to be loved, to be cared for. Again, this is going to sound weird, but this service is just an hour, maybe a little bit over. Today, we're a little bit over. If all you do is engage in something for a little bit over an hour a week, you're not going to get the results you want to see in your life. God has given us a place where we can grow. He has given us a place where we can be known. You can't talk back here. I mean, I hope you respond. I hope you turn to your neighbor and say, turn to your neighbor. But I can't have a conversation with every person in this room. We can't know every single need. We can't talk about every single prayer request. We can't counsel every single individual person here within an hour. That's why community is key. We need a social renewal. We need to renew our mind and be new in our thinking that I cannot do this alone. But here's what I want you to hear. Final thing, write this down. If I grow in these things this year, listen to this, I will grow in all things this year. If I grow in these things this year, if I am renewed in these things, I will grow in all things. Why is that? Because that's God's divine design for you. That you would be surrendered in relationship to his spirit. That you would hear his voice and be encouraged and strengthened through his word. And that you would find community to live out this purpose, to set people free across this planet. And if we can grow in these things, we can grow in all things. Whatever you want to see accomplished this year, I promise it because God's word promises it, that if you would put these things first, God will add all other things to you. Stand to your feet, Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We'll talk more about this specifically in February. But when we seek first his kingdom, when we seek first a relationship with him that comes from his word, that comes from prayer, that comes from other people, all things will be added unto us. When we seek clarity on God's vision for us, the things that we desire for ourselves now become renewed, and God will bring all of them to pass. Verse 34, though, says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What does that mean? It means that some of you here today, you're like, well, I got to work on all those things. That's a lot for me to do. What I want you to do is just focus on the one thing, the major thing. It may be all three. Some of you are like, you didn't even talk about serving. You didn't talk about generosity. Listen, three today. Which one was the Holy Spirit knocking loudest on your heart? Because the thought of giving God everything, it's so exhaustive. How do I give God everything? You start with the next thing. You want to give God everything? Start with the next thing. What's the Holy Spirit putting on your heart? Don't be anxious. There's so much I got to do. I need a renewal in so many different ways. Start with the next thing. And when we are renewed day by day, our vision will be restored day by day. We'll walk with confidence day by day, and be created into everything that God desires us to be as his people and as a church. Do you want that? I want that for us. I want that for my life.
Thank you for listening to the Local Church Podcast. If you enjoyed today's message, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast and review and share what you learned today. You can connect with us at thelocalchurch.com or by searching The Local Church on your favorite social media platforms. We hope you join us next week for a brand new episode. And remember, you matter to God and you matter to us.